everyone. I said that once before, but that was under announcements, and this is a little bit more serious. Not that we don't take announcements seriously, do we, people? No, I know you don't. You don't listen to me. Matthew 28:19. Don't panic, Sarah. It's not up there yet. Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We've all heard that scripture. If you haven't, welcome to church. In fact, it was the leading scripture the last time I spoke about missions, however long that was ago. It feels like years ago, doesn't it? It all just blends into one. But that was the leading scripture I used last time, so we've all heard that one. The thing with that scripture, though, it says, go and make disciples. That makes us all disciple makers, not just the pastor, not just the worship director, same person in this church, not just that one person. It doesn't just make the senior leadership disciple makers, it makes all of us disciple makers. We are all disciple makers, even if we don't actively do it. The reality is that we have always been involved in being disciple makers, even from a young age, just not always disciple makers of Jesus. You are a disciple. The question is, who are you following? You have disciples. The question is, how are you influencing the people watching you? Every one of us is engaged in some form of discipleship. Every one of us follows someone, and every one of us carries significant influence over others. Anyone can mimic Christianity for a while without any real conviction, but that kind of faith won't last, and it definitely doesn't save. A large part of being a disciple of Christ means making disciples. It is literally what we are called to do. Know this, you only believe in Jesus because someone told you about him. Someone, somewhere, planted a seed of love, a seed of prayer, a seed of encouragement. It is that reason that we are all here today, saved by the grace of God. This one's up there. John 15, verse 16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. We are called to bear fruit, not just consume and grow fat on God. The next one, 2 Timothy 2:2. It's like the Richie Beno of scriptures, 2 for 2:2:2. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others, aka making disciples. But missions and spreading the gospel isn't about us doing it all, but it's about us teaching and then equipping those that we delegate to the next level. It's about supporting others as they go on to make disciples of their own. I mentioned in my last missions update the ways that we can support missions and evangelism, both locally and globally. They include, actually, is it out there? You haven't seen it yet? Okay. Oh, I was going to say, who can remember them? It was pray, go and give. Well done, Pastor Chris, you nailed that one. Pray, go and give. Those are some of the ways that we as a church and individuals can support missions, whether it's local or globally. And let's be honest, we're actually called to do all three. It's not like we get to pick one and leave the others to someone else. It's not like American football where you just do one job and someone else comes and does the next job. What a pathetic sport. Sorry, Derek. You only have to do one thing in American football and then, you know, you get really good at that. We actually have to do all three. We all have the ability to do each and every one of those things with the measure that God has given us. We can all pray. We can all go. Not necessarily to the other side of the world, but at least to our neighbours. And we can all give money, time, support. I mentioned a few other things, and the reason I'm bringing this up is because I liked them last time and I thought they will fit in with what I've got. The next thing I actually mentioned last time was that missions means being sent by God into a specific place in order to partner with God to expand his kingdom. We're all involved in missions. The next thing I put up there was, sorry, just wait till Jess takes that photo, says, the question we should ask isn't, is God calling me into missions, but rather, where is God sending me to be part of building his kingdom? Evangelism is really, in its simple form, just localized view of missions. It's Christians making a difference in their street, in their neighborhood, in their community, and in their locality. Sometimes we look at disciple making and evangelism as something that it's too hard. We don't know where to go, we don't know what to say. It's easier sometimes to just give money and let someone else do it. Sometimes we don't even do that. When you become a follower of Jesus, you become part of Christ's body. The body of Christ depends on each member doing its work. We were each made for a particular purpose. And as disciples, we all play a role in advancing the kingdom. Ephesians 4:16. We didn't get a drink this week. Do we not give drinks to preachers anymore? That's all right. Thank you, Siobhan. Ephesians 4:16. See, she was already onto it. She's amazing, this wife. Should have one. Ephesians 4:16. You could have read it in that time that I took that drink. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Evangelism is ensuring the continued growth of the body of Christ, the church. We are called to continually renew the body, spreading the gospel more as that day approaches. Trust me, that day approaches. Pastor Michael mentioned it this morning. Could be next week, next year, or another 1,000 years from now, but that day approaches. When we share the gospel with our neighbours or a village 2,000 kilometres away, we are opening the door to allow God to work miracles in our lives and in theirs. When we give selflessly, it allows God to move into our lives and work those miracles within our families, our relationships, our workplaces, and our finances. When we give to missions, we are allowing someone else to spread those miracles on the other side of the world. How are we as Grow Church going to inspire more missions and evangelism? Screen please, Sarah. We can teach it. The sermons we hear from this pulpit, not just the missions update, but the sermons overall that we hear from this pulpit are God-inspired. I'm not talking about me here today necessarily, but every Sunday we have the opportunity to hear exactly what God wants us to hear. Are we listening? Pray. I mentioned this one before. This one is important. We can pray for our community. We can pray for our political leaders, even if we don't like them. We can pray for our church leaders, even if we don't like them. Sorry, Mum and Dad. We can pray for the missions field. We can pray. Number three, we can host. Listen to those that are doing. Now, we've done it in the past here. We've heard from Pastor Mike and Ann Hill when we launched Hope Village. We've listened to the Gideons. They've come before. And we've listened to what the Smiths do multiple times and what they're doing in their chaplaincy. We can host people. We can listen to those that are doing and be inspired. Next three, we can serve. Bakery is the perfect example of serving. We have people that selflessly, twice a week, go out there and collect this stuff and set up here to give to our community in need. What other areas is God pressing on your heart? Be careful, because if you ask, he will press. Number five, we can support. If you can't... What? It's written correct here, thank you very much. Sarah, can you... Sorry, Sarah. Sorry, guys. I apologise on Sarah's behalf. It's written correctly right here. It's fine. If you can't be there or do, at least sup it, as it's written up there. Financially is the obvious one. We collect a missions offering here every single week. What are you talking to your kids when it comes to money? Where are your focuses and what example are you setting to them? Number six, go. Have I spelled that one right? How many P's in go? None. Overseas missions is tough at the best of times. Anyone who's been on a missions trip anywhere around the world will tell you that. It's even harder with COVID. Can't wait for the day to be able to go and have those blinkers smashed off my eyes by God once again. The biggest impact I ever had on my life was when I went on a missions trip to India at the age of 16. That set me up for a life of seeing the need of others as greater than my own. Siobhan and I didn't hesitate when we saw the need of a young girl stuck in a government-run residential home. Her need was greater than any we had. That started when I was young. My parents and my pastors, same people, made sure that they gave me a worldview on what really need is. Let's begin to change the mindset of ourselves and our church and in turn facilitate growth. Foster a radical heart for the world and the lost. The gospel doesn't teach us how to better love ourselves, we do that just fine. Instead, the gospel teaches us how to better love the world. Our job as a church is to bring people in from the darkness, disciple them, then send them out. So what are we doing? And this is a screen that I stole from my last one as well. And it gives you a bit of an idea of the types of missions that we do here at church. And that includes bridge builders. That's our local. Our local stuff is our bridge builders. Our bakery, that's giving away food and things in need to our local community. Our chaplains, they're not here, of course, this morning, because one's had to go do his job and the other one is actually being a chaplain today. But we chaplain in the 36s. Pauline's a chaplain in a local school. I don't know if we remember that enough, but Pauline is out there every single week in a school. And trust me, schools are not nice places like they used to be when other people went to school. Okay, Boomer. So that's stuff we're doing local. We've lost the op shop. That season has passed. I shouldn't say we've lost the op shop, but the season of the op shop has passed. So that's something we're not quite doing now. But we've got dreams for things much greater than that. We also do care in China. We're supporting children's homes over there and disabled children's support. Bernard is one that Owen still brings up to me all the time about him and what he does and what we talk about out there in Grow Kids. And of course, the Hope Village, where they're changing that local community in Indonesia. So we're supporting that children's home. We're sponsoring to help affordable education because that area that they are in is incredibly poor. Many families, and I heard this from a video I watched on Pastors Mike and Anne, they said many families earn less than $8 a day. And when you've got four kids, imagine it, four kids, that means no school. Those children are then either made to work to make sure they bring more money in for the family, or they just simply can't afford it. That doesn't break the cycle of poverty. One thing I'd like to focus on as I speak about Hope Village this time is the school side of things. The school started in 2015 out of a need for good local education that was accessible to all. The school trains and hires local teachers and local staff. This has a much greater impact for the community than foreigners coming in for short periods. These teachers are there every day, having an impact on the children and the local community. While foreigners can come into a community and make a quick impact, it's the locals on the ground that transform communities. They are the ones that are there for the good times and for the bad, serving their community and making disciples. The past 2 years have shown the importance of local missions. The fact that we haven't been able to travel, we are then reliant upon those that are there at the coalface. That's where our local missions is important. That's the bakery, our bridge builders, our care packages, but also local missions around the world. If Indonesia relied upon foreigners to come in and make a difference, then the last 2 years were wasted. It's the locals that are there with support from others like us, loving their community and making a difference. Indigenous churches make a greater difference in missions than foreign churches with an unrealistic view on the region. Titus 1:5. That is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. I mentioned 2 Timothy 2:2 before, and I'll read it again. And things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Paul is reminding Timothy there that he cannot do all the work of the ministry on his own. He needs to build up disciples that he can delegate the work of disciple making to. Point others to appropriate roles, and delegating work is an important part of making disciples, and in turn who then make more disciples. The plan of Hope Village is to break that continual cycle of poverty in the local community. That takes a long, loving approach to alter, not just a few visits from white people every couple of years. Hope Village now has previous residents returning to work and helped that next generation. That doesn't happen unless you made a real difference in their lives in the first place. People don't want to return and make a difference in others unless they have had the disciple-making desire taught to them. Just to recap, let's look at what Hope Village is. They have their homes. Hope Village has the homes where they can bring in not just orphans, but children that are of disadvantage or families that are too poor to look after them. They've got, and I think this is still correct, they've got 3 boys and 1 girl's home. 1 uni students where they send them off to the main city. They're all mixed ages. They're all families. They're trying to create families for these little children, ranging from, you know, teenagers in high school right down to the little ones. And they create this family. The school. Poor and orphaned children are usually going to be disadvantaged. They are looked down upon, usually bullied by other students. Unfortunately, that even happens in Australia. The government schooling in Indonesia is subpar and under-resourced. What they're doing with this school is they are breaking the cycle of poverty. They are empowering individuals. They have previous prior students that are now come back and are teachers in that school. That is breaking the cycle of poverty right there. They are developing communities and helping them grow in skills and in knowledge. They are Christ-centered. They currently run from a kindergarten through to junior high school with over 500 students. Building has started on the new senior school. Next ones. That's literally in the last month these photos have come up. That is exciting because not even a pandemic can stop what God wants to do in that place. Being able to take children from childcare through high school and all the way to uni is the best way to train that next generation in the way that it should go. Next one. School is staffed by locals. That is the staffing teacher photo that I managed to get through from Hope Village. They are all people that have been discipled to and are now turning that around to make more disciples. This is an opportunity for local teachers to have jobs, to make a difference in their lives and in the children and in the families, the locals. Next one. Beyond the homes and the school, Hope Village also manages to provide the following to the community. A medical centre. A community centre where people can come together and learn new things and be together. Childcare, like I mentioned earlier, so that these children aren't just left at home while the parents have to go work. They are training. There's also a new workshop that they've built where they're going to train and bring over people to teach the young people and the teenagers and the men of the town and how to do different things so that they can build new houses, they can build new stuff. And water and sanitation. So, water and sanitation. The village and the school need clean water. I don't think we understand that, how important that is here in Australia. Perhaps they are at the moment in Brisbane, because the water's pretty horrible up there, but I don't think we understand that we can turn on a tap and that is a safe water to use for drinking and cooking and everything. The rivers over there are polluted. Anyone who's been pretty much anywhere else in the world will see what the rivers look and smell like and what's in there, and who knows what's happening just upriver. The floods that they had on New Year's Eve would have also disturbed this water and polluted it further. Hope Village has installed four, and I asked about this when they were here last because it's something I'm pretty interested in. They've installed four water filtration units to supply water not only to the children's home and the school, but their surrounds. These units have various stages of filtration. They can take water from the river down to pure water that's perfect for cooking, drinking, living and washing. They were designed here in Australia by a man up in Brisbane, and I was told that it can take a dead animal in the first tank, and once it's gone through its four stages of filtration, it's pure drinking water. So to take a rotten carcass water to be able to be drunk as pure water is an amazing thing. Many of us will remember our commitment that we made, goodness me, middle of last year, towards late last year, the commitment we made to a young lady called Bunga. Bunga was the older sister of three siblings. They were originally being cared for by another local region, and that was discovered that that care was subpar. These kids hadn't been attending school, were malnourished and flea-ridden. They were taken into Hope Village just a few years ago where Bunga and her siblings could attend the school. It's all right, Mother. I'll just sweat all over this microphone. Bunga was then able to go through school with her siblings and has recently graduated. I'm about to show a video of Bunga after she finished high school last year, highlighting what her dreams are for leaving after leaving school. Thank you, Sarah.
Hello, my name is Runga. I come from Batak and I'm 19 years old. I came here when I was 9 years old. What I enjoy being in Hopeless is teaching me to be closer to God and believe more. My hobbies are drawing, reading, and make something beautiful. I start my relationship with God when I was 14 years old. My favorite Bible verse is Philippians 4, verse 13. That says, I am able to do all things through Him who gives me strength. I will study at Young Lady and my study program is Sewing Cross. My dream in the future is I want to be a tailor model. My dream for Hopeless family is I have my own handmade clothing business and I will give it to Hopeless. Thank you for your support and God bless you.
It's just dawned on me, that scripture. I watched that a few times yesterday. Only just dawned on me that I can do all things through God that gives me strength. Can you imagine the outlook on a child? What, she 9 years old with two younger siblings who probably didn't think there was anything in the world. She couldn't do anything, barely surviving, to now know that she can do anything with the strength that God gives her. That was last year. That was her dreams for what she did after graduating. And because we committed, she was able to go on and to do her course, her sewing, and to better herself. We as a church committed to $440 a month to help support her as she went on to learn this trade. This included her lodging, food, her care, the training course that she was doing, and a small amount of pocket money to live. I apologise this has taken us long to get back to you, but the last few months have been difficult. I've been trying to do this one. But we are actually on average about $100 per month short. The church committed, so we're making up that difference somewhere else. But that means diverting other monies to this. I would love to have stood here today and stated that we are getting enough to sponsor even more or to put towards something else, but I can't. Because of that money that we have committed, that dream is becoming a reality. But see, not only are we making a difference in her life, but potentially the generations to come. She wants to come and give back to Hope Village, back to God, back to the village that helped her get where she is. But there are many, many more like Bunga that we could be helping. This is the bit I didn't want to talk about. That's all right, we're going to get there. We don't get up and we don't talk about tithing, and we don't talk about offerings every Sunday. Many churches do. If getting up and talking about money and tithings and offerings just before we take up that offering increased the amount that we got in, I think I'd be a little bit disappointed. It would mean that perhaps we as a church congregation need to be challenged or pushed to give to missions. I'd like to think that as long-term disciples of Christ, He has spoken to us. And we independently have a burning to do more without a guilt trip every single week. We will continue to support Bunga and other missions field that God directs us. But we are called to do so much more. I mentioned a few months ago when I was supposed to give this update that we had received information from Hope Village of the New Year's Eve flooding. The river had risen 4 metres overnight, bringing through flood waters into the school and into the low-lying areas. Show up some pitch, please, Sarah. This is an update we got from the school. And it says, quick update on Hope Village. And this is on New Year's Eve, remember? We're all having a party and relaxing and stuff, and this is what they were doing. All are well, and only property damage occurred, which is a blessing. Blessing. The children were moved to the top story of one of our buildings overnight, and our older teens and staff worked hard into the night clearing up. Remember that? The older teens and the staff worked hard. In daylight, the cleaning continued with thick mud across all homes and pathways. Some of our neighbours didn't fare well. Our head teacher's home, along with two other teaching staff, have had water sitting a metre high rush through, damaging nearly everything they owned. They will return from holidays tomorrow, deeply faced with it all. One school family have had their timber home completely destroyed, and we have opened up our school classrooms as temporary accommodation for them and others in the village until they can rescue what belongings remain undamaged and find other accommodation. One of our staff described the scene as the whole of the village looked like it was covered by a sea of water. We are so thankful to God that our family are safe and well. What an outlook. We've all seen the pictures of Brisbane and northern New South Wales recently. We know what flooding can do. Lives are lost. Homes are destroyed. Thank God we didn't lose any lives there. And they got no insurance. I can't have a Brisbane. Then we received the following update. Next pictures. This is a school that's just got wiped out. And thank God that they were there to supply that accommodation and that safe refuge for the local community. Without it, there's nothing. After our recent flood damage, we are so grateful for the help people have given so that we could start to replace items and facilities that were damaged. We are currently working with our wider community to help equip 110 children with new school bags, stationery and socks that were destroyed through the excessive mud left behind after the floods. As well as that, we will be helping families replace their damaged stock of rice and their basic staple food. When our year started with a flood, wonderful Aussies flooded us with donations to help out. These are just some of the families that were able to help with some staple food supplies while they got back on their feet. So grateful for generous-hearted people. Not only were these people that we're supporting over there able to keep our children safe over there, they were able to reach into their community and change those lives too. Today we will be taking up a special offering. This was supposed to go towards helping rebuild after the floods. A few things have slowed us coming down to this day, and it seems a little while afterwards. But we still right now have a great opportunity to make a difference in Indonesia. The basics have been supplied, but we are here to go beyond basics. Next one, Sarah. We then heard, these are some of the things they've had to replace. Fridges, microwaves, irons. What's an iron? I don't use one of those. They could have had mine. We then heard that after that, the school, you know, they cleaned up, they got ready. After 2 years of online learning, was returning to go into class learning. A huge thing for those teachers, families and students. We all know the pain of trying to do distance learning and to do it properly. It's a full-time job. That on top of a full-time job and family duties, it's tough. They're trying to do that over in Indonesia. Then we got this one. So next photo says, so this is some of the things that we were able to they were able to get supplied for kids. Brand new school bags, socks. Who thinks of socks? But no, things are socks. Next one, Sarah. This is them getting ready to go back to school. Look, they're actually pretty excited. A few of them are throwing gang signs up there, but that's all right. They probably don't know what they're doing. But how exciting to go back to school. Kids, it's exciting to go back to school. But then we got this one. This is only just last week. Please keep our staff and kids in your prayers. The Omicron wave has just hit our region, and 12 teaching staff have tested positive. But fortunately, their symptoms are mild. Now, I only counted about 12 people in that photo. That sounds like the whole school. The local government require all schools in our region to close for a week or two until things settle. It means our staff pivot yet again to online learning. Remember, for a lot of families, this is via a hand phone WhatsApp platform with no other internet access. It's been 2 long years of mostly schools closed, and then just when things were getting back to routine, we have to change again. We are blessed with committed teachers who are prepared to do what it takes to bring good quality education to our school of 670 kids. But it's a lot of work too. Can the band please come? That's you, band. I finished my last missions update with the following. When is enough enough? Sarah. Oh, she's good. Matthew 24:14. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. When not one person is left hungry or in fear, when every single person has had the chance to make a decision to either follow Christ or not, that's when we stop. That's when enough is enough. Our offering today is a special one-off offering. It's been a few weeks coming. It's going to go directly to Hope Village for them to use as they need, to replenish lost things, to support locals that are suffering, maybe just to bring some joy to a village and to a school that is suffering from COVID. But this offering isn't the end. We are still committed to Bunga. We are still committed to what God is asking us to do here and overseas. You hear people say, I'll pray about it, which is fine, I guess. But the Bible is clear on what we need to do. God has made it clear on what we need to do, and action is better than words. I'm going to pray in a second, then we're going to play a quick video. This video is a little promo video for the school, and just watch it. And if those little, you know what I mean when I say this, the little red sailor suits, if they don't get you, nothing ever will. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come here today. Even though we are late to doing this missions update, I thank you that we can still come together. Lord God, bless those in Indonesia that are doing their local missions. Lord, stir in us to support them, whatever way we can. Keep them in our thoughts, keep them in our prayers, Lord God, as we focus on those that are doing and not just talking. Lord God, thank you for the opportunity to come and share this with the church this morning, Lord God, and I pray you bless us as we bless them. Hallelujah.